All right, I'd like to welcome you all to the inaugural episode of the Game 4 podcast. I'm Adam, and this is Matt, and we're planning to post every 2 weeks, both on our YouTube channel, which you'll be able to find links for on www.imgame4.com, and also wherever you get your podcasts. As I mentioned, I'm Adam. I am the visual designer and kind of co-creator-y kind of thing of the Game 4 app, and this is Matt.
Yep, and I'm one of the developers. That means I write a lot of code.
Right, exactly. So I guess basically on this sort of inaugural kind of episode, we want to talk a little bit about what is Game 4 for people who maybe have just stumbled across this strangely and
Absolutely.
Want to find out more. So Game 4 is an app that we launched. Well, okay, so technically we started working on it. And when I say we, I don't mean me, but Milkcan as a company. Milkcan, we're a small company and we make apps and websites and things like that for normal business clients and things like that. But we're all tabletop gamers.
Exactly.
There's like five of us. So we wanted to make this app. And the whole concept was that basically back in 2016, before I even started working here, you guys were definitely thinking about making an app, not for a client, but for us.
Right. So, you know, something to break up the monotony and to also provide a little bit of maybe extra revenue and also to kind of solve an issue we were having at the time. So at the time, we were, myself and Jason were into X-Wing, mm-hmm. and finding a game on a random night to play and to match up with people was getting pretty hard to do.
Right, and you guys at the time were trying to use like Facebook Messenger
group and messengers, and it just was not working. I think we even tried like a meetup as well.
Right, so at that point, it became an idea of like, well, here's the trouble that mm-hmm. we see. And we know that we have the resources and whatnot to be able to hopefully kind of solve this. So you guys kind of went into early marketing research mode and things like that. And then mm-hmm. I rolled along in July of 2016.
Yeah, probably around there. Yep. Yeah. And it just worked out really well that you had that extra piece of knowledge and brought kind of that last missing piece to the team of what we needed.
Yeah. So with me, it's I've got a YouTube channel, for those of you that don't know, about tabletop wargaming and miniatures and stuff like that. I've been doing that for quite some time. So, you know, being able to bring that in, my gaming knowledge and all that kind of stuff, and my visual UX, UI design, which is technical stuff, it worked out pretty well. And we were able to finally launch. Well, you guys started programming in early 2017.
Yep. I started doing some back-end coding and development of stuff that we knew was ready, mm-hmm. While the front end designs of how people were going to interact with the app, what features we were going to have was still kind of being fleshed out.
Right. Yeah. So we went through and did a lot of work trying to figure out like, well, what are we launching with? What mm-hmm. is going to have to come later? Because you can't in software, you can't launch. You come up with tons and tons of ideas, but you can't launch with everything.
No. Well,
I mean? you'll never launch.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a situation of where. I remember sitting in this room. This is our conference room here at Milkcan. It sounds like we should just start calling it the Milkcan factory floor because there's a hum. There's like this air exchange mentation sort of like.
Right.
The building is always, there's not a quiet spot in the building. Anyway, so we apologize for that. But I remember sitting in this room and on the whiteboard and looking at like, well, this is going to be hard to do and is not mm-hmm. as particularly necessary, and this is going to be easier to do and
right,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we had the post-it notes and
yeah,
we're moving around and kind of debating back and forth. And
which is the same stuff that we had done for plenty of clients in the past. So having that background was super helpful. And then we soft launched just before Christmas 2017.
Yep.
Didn't really tell a bunch of people, just friends and family type of thing, and got people to go in and kick the tires and all that. And then we didn't really announce it to the world much until right before the Gamma trade show in Reno mm-hmm. in March of 2018, correct?
Yeah, I think the week before we said, okay, let's, you did a podcast, I think.
I did a video on YouTube, about it and everything.
We started, you know, doing some small promotions and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And by the time we got to Gamma, we found out we were actually trending on Android.
What the heck was it? It wasn't education.
Social
apps. Social. We were trending on the social page for the Google Play Store.
Like 1 and 2 on that.
Yeah, we were up higher than we really thought. It was kind of surprising, but that's because we had a lot of people joining it all at once, so it was a velocity thing. Yeah. But that was great, yeah. I have a very strong memory of us sitting in wherever we were having breakfast that morning.
The little Italian little...
Right.
Yep.
At the place at the Peppermill, which is the big resort that the Gamma trade show, the Game Manufacturers Association trade show every year in Reno, Nevada, where that is. And we were sitting there and just like looking through the Google Play Store, and we were like, holy... And we were, it was kind of surprising. Yep. So it was great. But we launched, like I said, really technically in March of 2018, and... now it's a little over a year later, and we're over 33,000 registered users.
Yep.
Our store database that's within the app, it's a store finder, so at any time you can be, anywhere you go, you can always pull up the app and look and find the closest gaming store. We've got 6,500 plus stores worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
When we launched, our database was only about 5,800.
57, so, 58, yeah, somewhere around there.
So we've added a bunch with basically... crowdsourcing where people were like, hey, this place you missed it, hey, this place opened up, hey, this place is closed,
right.
We've taken places
we've
out
taken
as well.
Some, yeah, we've taken about 100 or plus or so
out.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's just been, it's worked out pretty well so far that way. We've got groups and clubs. We've added a bunch of new features, obviously.
Yeah, there's lots of groups and clubs.
1,300-ish groups and clubs worldwide, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
And in some areas, that's actually where a lot of the activity is, where there's not a lot of stores. Where actually groups and clubs seems to be even more popular than what we even thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing that we're seeing is that, you know, when you first open up the app, you've got game events.
Mm-hmm.
And game events is the, how would you say it? It's like just kind of, this is the different events that are going on. And those events are posted by generally stores that are verified, and they get verified for free. They can get verified for free. Reach out to us.
Public groups can post as well.
Public groups can post events there too, and individuals can post. So like if you just were like, I want to get together and play Settlers of Catan with people at the local game store, because we're always concerned about safety and all that kind of stuff.
Or you're designing the next great board game and you want to have a demo.
We've had a lot of people, who have been reaching out to us who are like, I need playtesters, and so I go on to this app and I say, hey, Saturday at the local game shop, come on down and playtest this new game, and people show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way for people who have no idea who you are.
Right.
Like if you've got a website talking about the game that you're working on, that's great. You can, but if nobody knows about you, they're not going to find your website.
Right.
But if they just pull up the app and go, I got Saturday off, I'm going to take a look and see what's going on in the local area for gaming, and then they find your thing and say, yeah, I'll be interested in playtesting. That sounds interesting.
And keep some of the biasness out too, so you can get some honest feedback.
Right. Yeah, that's very true too.
Because gamers love to give honest feedback.
Exactly. That's very true. But yeah, so the game events thing is predominantly events that are put in by, again, stores, groups and clubs, or individuals. And then we've also got the looking for players, which is not about events per se. It's more, we always explain it as it's that 3x5 card stuck to the cork board at the back of the game shop that says we're looking for a cleric for our Thursday night D&D 5th edition game, call Jerry and this number and whatever.
Right.
So it's the same type of thing, except that you don't have to share your phone number. You can put up a thing saying, hey, I want to play this game or this game or this game. Here are the two shops that I will love to meet at that are close to my house or whatever. And that a person can send you a message directly through the app. You're not sharing your email address. You're not sharing your phone number. And then you can message back and forth, coordinate, meet at that public place, and everything's cool. And find somebody new to play games with, or maybe a group of people to find to play games
with. And it's a little bit different than your profile, because one, you can have more than one post.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have to be something that you're long-term committed.
You can go back and delete it.
Right.
You know, or if you're like, oh, I don't really want to play that game anymore, I don't like that game anymore, you could just take it out and then throw in something new, because maybe you switched from playing, Magic to, you've really gotten into RPGs.
Right.
So that's simple. Whereas if you had to go in and change your profile a bunch of times, that's a little bit less, plus it's refreshing it. If you put in a new one, it's going to kind of go up towards the top where people are viewing in your local area. So that's really helpful.
Right. Yeah. If you're looking for, to try out the new Malifaux or Pathfinder rules.
Sure.
You're not committed that this is going to be your next game. But
exactly.
So
yeah, and then we've got the, like we've mentioned in the past, the groups and clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of groups and clubs that we find where people are, using say Meetup and things like that, Meetup.com, that has a cost.
Mm-hmm.
Generally it's what we said, something like $15 a month.
I believe something so. If you have over 50 or something like that,
we have. kind of a commitment here that we do at Game 4. There's no cost for gamers to use the app. There's no cost for stores to use the app. They can get verified for free, right, so they can put their events in and update their listing in the Game Finder database and all that kind of stuff. And we've got no cost for groups and clubs.
Right.
So groups and clubs have the ability to be post events that the people in their groups and clubs can see. They can also post them to be public so they could get new people to come to their groups and clubs. And then they have a chat thing, which is basically a place where they can communicate back and forth in that way. It's not like a forum. It's more like one big sort of chat room.
Right. And it's easier to find, too, than you don't get mixed in with video games and all the other types of games that people post.
In a lot of other kind of club-style apps, when you do that, you're right. You know, if you start searching for something, you go to Meetup and say, I'm looking for a gaming group. Who knows what you're going to find?
Right.
You know, you have to get very specific sometimes, and then maybe you're too specific and you miss stuff. But this way, you just see all the different groups in your local area. They're all tabletop gaming groups, but they have little icons next to them that say, oh, this one does RPGs and board games.
Right.
This one only does war games. Or these guys get together only and play, you know, CCGs or whatever. Having that kind of filtering where you can say, I don't like to play CCGs, you can turn those off and they won't show up and that kind of stuff. It's really kind of nice. We talked to, well, there's the store database, which we mentioned earlier. That's, again, 6,500 plus stores worldwide. Anywhere you travel, you can pull out your phone and look at it and go, oh, wow, there's a store 2 miles from here. I had no idea. We hear from people all the time who travel for work.
Right.
And then they tell us, oh, yeah, no, it's, you know, when I travel for work, I end up at some new city. It's great because I don't have to, I don't have to go to Google and type in game store, and then you get all the GameStops in the area and all this. And it's just like, I can just pull it out and find out places to go that maybe have got a game that you've been looking for that's out of stock everywhere else, but they have it. You know, we've heard plenty of stories about that.
That is great. And people that are like, oh, I've lived in this town my entire life. I would know if there's a game store near me.
Right.
The one guy that, you know, drove what, like 3 hours, like once a month to St. Louis for the and there was,
I was doing a live stream with somebody I was on, and in the chat there was a guy saying, oh, you know, there's nobody that there's no stores near me and I have to drive 3 hours. I was being interviewed. I don't remember which podcast it was.
Yeah, it's on, if you look at our media, you can see
it. Yeah, it's one of the, on the media page on the Game 4 website, you can see it. But nonetheless, person was saying, well, there's nothing that's anywhere near me. And then you asked them in the chat because you were sort of shadowing in there. You're like, what's your zip code? And you punched it in and you're like, you know, there's like two stores within a half hour, right?
Yes.
And so,
yeah, the response in the audience was great because everyone was like, oh my gosh, it works.
Yeah, and the people in the chat were pretty impressed.
He's like, okay, I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you know, marketing doesn't reach everybody. Mm-hmm. So if you're a store and you're trying to get your word out there, it doesn't always work. But if it's a place where just tabletop gaming stores are listed, we're going to try to get real hard to get you in there.
Right.
And if we've missed you, you can contact us at the website down the bottom. There's a thing that says store owners. And you can click on that link. And
even if you're not a store owner, your favorite store is missing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But if you're not a store owner and your local store is missing, you should go reach out to them too and tell them about it and let them know.
Because they can get verified. I don't think we've talked about verification.
Right, yet. Yeah. So stores, you know, we've got this big, huge database of stores, but that was predominantly through the work that we did initially to build the seed list. And then it was also through, you know, the crowdsourcing where people reaching out and saying, hey, you don't have my local store in there. But a store can reach out to us, again, through that link at the bottom of the website, and they can get verified for free. A verified store is able to go into their listing in the database, and they're able to put in a description of the services and the stuff that they sell and all that kind of stuff. They can put in their hours. They can update their address or their phone number if we don't have it right in there or whatever. And then they can also start entering their events, which will then show up in the gaming events.
Right.
We have an entire web-based store portal.
Mm-hmm.
So you as a store owner don't have to sit there on your thumbs and enter all of your Friday Night Magics and all that kind of stuff. Speaking of games like Friday Night Magic, they generally happen every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So we have recurring events, so you can set it up to just run. It'll run for up to 12 sessions, and then you'll get like a message that says, hey, this thing is about to run out, and then you can extend it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of features actually for the stores, and it's all free for the stores.
Right, calendar for your website that automatically populates.
Exactly, calendar widget you can drop on your website, so when you put your stuff into Game 4, it automatically updates your website.
Right. TV display for the LCDs.
That's one of our newest features for stores. Yeah, if you've got a flat screen TV in your store that you put maybe YouTube videos on or things like that or whatever while you get the store, you can point that TV via a browser to a link that will give you in the store portal. Then we'll show it'll just cycle through your calendar of events and all that kind of stuff. And we're adding new features to that soon too, so you can start putting in in-store sales, like, oh, 20% off on all RPGs this week, or, hey, you know, pre-order this, right, go talk to the person at the front desk, that kind of stuff, messages and things like that that'll go in between cycles through your calendar. So anyway, it's for Android, it's for iOS, and we've also got a web version too. So if you don't have a phone, or if you're not near your phone or whatever, you can still get it through a laptop or a desktop. And that's pretty much Game 4 in a nutshell. And we're not going to run through this whole thing every episode going in the future. Again, this is the kind of initial episode, so we want to have the information in there, have that history.
Yeah, right. If somebody's like, I don't know what Game 4 is, you can send them here.
We can send them to the first episode, and they can take a look. But now the question is, like, okay, so, but you're an app, and that's great. Why are you doing a podcast? Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I think, the more important question in this situation. One of the things that, again, one of the reasons we're doing this whole podcast to begin with, or the whole, doing the whole app, actually.
Yeah, right.
Is because we want to make it easier for people to find games to play. You know, it's connecting tabletop gamers. That's the slogan. And we want people to be able to find, you know, games to play, more people to play with. A lot of times when you start playing games with people, eventually, because you're face-to-face, maybe you become friends. People like to have more friends, all that kind of stuff. We find all of that kind of community building to be very important, mm-hmm. and that's what the podcast is going to be about. We're going to mainly talk about community building.
Right, your gaming groups, your stores, you know, how to find games, like how to, you know, how to get your games played, you know.
How to deal with, you know, maybe certain types of gamers, things like that, how to stay motivated to... I mean, there's a plethora of things that we can talk about, and mm-hmm. You know, what we want to do with the podcast, we've got a little list here on our little piece of paper. We want to help tabletop gamers play more games, which I've kind of mentioned. That's really the important thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, with video games specifically, if you want to play a multiplayer game, you just go to the menu and say multiplayer, and it links you up with some folks. Who knows where they are? Could be anywhere in the world, and then you play, and that's great. But, you know, I'm not saying that people who play video games don't end up eventually sometimes making friends with people, you know, online.
I've got plenty of friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. They've done that same thing. But what I'm saying is that it is harder, actually, when you are trying to, like, actually get together and play a multiplayer or a multiplayer tabletop game.
Right.
Sometimes it's harder to get those people together. Or sometimes you just don't know that other people in your area mm-hmm. play, you know what I mean? We've talked to people in the past using, you know, who have been using the app, who are like, well, it turns out there's a guy who lives three blocks from me.
Right.
And we both play the same game, and we didn't realize, you know, and now I know, because he's new to the area. I've lived here a long time, but blah, 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 whatever. So that's really kind of cool, too. And that's something that we want to help kind of foster and get moving.
Right.
We want to help stores get more gamers to their events. That's kind of a big thing, too. You know, there, certain genres of games work better in a store environment than mm-hmm. others. You know, obviously, like, if you want to get into tournament play and stuff like that, or anything like that, for, let's say, collectible card games, tabletop war games, miniatures, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff, obviously the store is kind of generally the place to go. But people can also just get together and play board games at their house with their friends.
Right.
And they don't need, you know, to mm-hmm. go to the store and all that kind of stuff. But if you're new to an area, being able to find a board gaming club and then, you know, kind of mm-hmm. work with where they play is also a good idea. The thing that we've added in, because as I mentioned before, we're always very concerned with safety. Generally, an event, if you're going to post it, it has to be at a store, mm-hmm. one of the 65,000 plus stores that's in our database. But let's say your gaming club always plays in a church basement, or they always play in the back room of a restaurant or something like that.
Perkins is one around here.
Oh yeah, no, there's a gaming club that plays at the Perkins, like
on
little
Pie Night.
Yeah, it's like a little kind of community room almost, or something, or a little secondary room.
Well, festival
is
at the community one. This one's at the table, so that they can get the free pie or extra pie or whatever it is that night, because nothing better than gaming and pie.
Oh yeah, no, I get that.
Like that the person who came up with that is brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. But the trick is that, you know, as a group, if you start a group, then you can post in the, if you're an admin or a moderator of the group, you can, there's a thing in the menu that says, hey, submit public location.
Right.
So you could then submit that church basement. You could submit that that Perkins, right. And then we get it here. We go and look on Google and make sure that it is actually a Perkins and it's not, right. You know, something weird.
And we've had tons of stuff, dorm rooms, or like not an actual dorm room, but
the community room.
Rooms at dorms, yep. Libraries are big ones.
And then that way, for your group, that is now okayed. So then when you want to have your club events at the church basement or at the library or at the restaurant back room or whatever, then you've got that in your list. So you can make your events happen there. It's still a public place,
right?
But it's available for, you know, your group to use, and it's not one of the stores. Now, again, if you're a group or a club, you can still have public or private events. Like, you want to get to have a cookout and play some board games and stuff like that. But
or it's just a private club. Like, I have a, you know, weekly board game at my house. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. But then only club members can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a private... You can't have an event at your house or at a non-okayed address that is public, because we just don't want random people showing up at your house or you showing up at random people's houses.
You know. It just kind of keeps everyone safe. Exactly. Yes, there's probably a way you can trick the system to try to make it, you know, where you invite everybody and get everybody in.
But yeah.
And really, that's, you know.
I mean, the reason that we lean so heavily on stores for a lot of that is because it's very simple. We've got this big database of stores. It's very simple for you to find the stores that are near you when you're using the app, because it's using either your postal code, your zip code, your location services, and your phone, however you want to do it. I mean, we're very, like, again, besides safety, we're also very concerned with privacy. You can use the app in guest mode, and you don't have to, like, go and look through. You don't have to log in.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah, you can use tons of it. If you just want to, like, look for events, look for stores, you don't even have to log in. You can just go, you know, use as guests down at the bottom on the, like, login page.
Right.
So, you know, and if you do decide to log in, all we need is your email address, and then you can make up a username and a password, and that's it. We don't take any other data.
Right. And it's built by people that build third-party benefits, insurance. Us as developers, we know how to keep your information safe.
Right. So security as far as, like, somebody being able to get the email list, which would be the only thing we'd be holding anyway.
Right.
But that, yeah.
We have encryption and all the, you know, updates and everything else.
Yeah. This is not our first rodeo. but yeah, so we want to be able to help tabletop gamers find more games, which is I mentioned previously. We want to help stores get more gamers into their events and those kinds of things. And we want to help gamers find groups and clubs, which is what we were kind of talking about there, near them, and how, you know, if you make a public event, whether it's at a store or whether it's at some other okayed public place, then people who are looking through the game events can just be able to see, oh, hey, there's a club, you know, it looks like there's some sort of night where they're going to be playing board games, and then you can look at the description and go, oh, this is a club, that's very cool, all right. And then you end up going there, and then maybe you eventually join the club, and then now you've got a whole group of new people to be able to interact with and play with.
Right.
So that's really cool.
And this is really good for what our next episode, where we're talking about, you know, games that aren't really popular.
Right, exactly. That's a good point, too.
You're a big bold action player, but your local stores don't play bold action.
Yeah.
A group might be the way to do it.
That's true. We also want to help gaming conventions find their audience. So one of the most recent, like this year, 2019, one of the most recent add-ons was now a convention finder. So conventions can post for free and put in like a link to their website. They can put in a description, put in the dates of their event, the name of their event, cost, things like that. And that's free for conventions. It's technically along the Wikipedia sort of
model. Right, yeah, you don't even have to be a convention to post it. If a convention you like is not in there, or they just released the date, so because we only allow it per a scheduled event, so it's not every September, because we want to make sure, like, a lot of lists that we were looking at when we were trying to build this were out of date, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They actually hadn't had a convention since 2013, but they were still being listed, so... Right. They're added every, and so you can add it even if you're not a member. It goes to our staff. We review it and can improve it. If we deny it, we'll usually tell you why.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't just, you know, apple it and just tell you no.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's generally like if it's going to get denied, it's usually because this is not like a gaming convention. It's like maybe video gaming convention, or maybe it's some other types of convention that someone's just trying to get more exposure.
Right, but if you're
for
like,
the most part, it's been.
But if it's 10 people and you call it a convention, it can be listed.
Sure, absolutely.
So, and then you can also do edits too. So if there's missing information or wrong information, you can submit an edit. Again, it goes through our approval process, but then it gets posted up and is available for everybody right away.
Yeah. And then lastly, we want to help to kind of grow the industry. So we're, you know, all of this stuff, getting more people to play games is really the whole point. And it gets more people playing games, which means gets more people generally buying games or mm-hmm. buying gaming supplies and things like that. So at some point, maybe down the road, we'll maybe even talk with some industry folks and doing mm-hmm. the interview, something along those lines. This being kind of our first episode, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants. Our equipment is sketchy, so if the sound is kind of lousy, we apologize. We're just kind of getting started and figuring it out. I've been doing video for a long time, but I've never done a podcast. I mean, I've been on podcasts, but I've never tried to produce one. So it's a bit of a thing. But we do at some point think maybe getting people from the industry potentially to talk to.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
With the people who, again, have ideas on how to build community mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. That'd be, I think,
yeah, really we'll be talking to, you know, yeah, group runners and
yeah, absolutely.
Store owners and yeah, publishers.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of people that have expressed an interest or we know will probably yeah. jump on.
No, so. I agree. All right. Well, I think, is there anything else we need to say for this episode?
No, I think we'll keep it short and sweet.
Yeah.
Or shorter.
Shortish, yeah. Thanks again for listening to this first episode of the Game 4 podcast. If you've got questions or comments and you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a comment below. If you're listening via your favorite podcast player or you just aren't into the whole YouTube comment section thing, then you can feel free to reach out to us via email at podcast@iamgame4.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And lastly, to find out more about the Game 4 platform designed to connect tabletop gamers, please check out our website at www.iamgame4.com. That is www.iamgamefor.com.
We'll see you next time. Bye.